Okay, so we are now on session three. We've looked at examples of conflict. We've looked at commands to live at peace by the power of the gospel, the attitudes and actions that we need to prevent conflict. And now, when that inevitable, enemy comes about and conflict arises, what do we do? So I want to start by looking at some areas that can cause some confusion or questions of whether or not something needs to be confessed. And the first thing I want to talk about is what Jay Adams, he's like, well, he must be 85 or 90. He's like the founder of the current biblical counseling movement that started like back in the 70s, where he said, you know what? This, within the church, we need this to counsel and admonish one another. And he talks about what's called heart sins. And I appreciate how he says this. These are the sins, the ones that don't grow into full-blown sin against one another. They're sins like lust, envy, covetousness. These sins need to be confessed to God. So, in other words, if I am, and I'll give one, because where are they? Where's Teresa and Amy? There they are. I covet, I lust, and I'm envious of their hair. I do. I love their hair. Do I need to, well, now I've just confessed it to the whole room. But I don't need to go to them and go, oh, Amy and Teresa, I love, covet, want your hair so bad. You know, I don't need to deal with that. Now, if I am at a retreat with them and we're sharing a room and I put something in their shampoo that turns their hair green, I'd still love, covet their hair, even if their hair was green, okay? But if I do that, then that's another issue. But just, and see, I can spiritualize it and say, oh, I just appreciate how God made their hair. No, it's more than that. I really want their hair, and this is the attempt at it, and it didn't happen. So anyways, so there's the heart sins. There's that envy and lust and covetousness. I don't need to go to that person and confess. A biblical pattern for confession of sin, and we're going to talk more about that. And again, there's a lot of moving parts to this. And so if there's something that you're going, what in the world did she say? A, that's because it's me speaking. But please ask the question or write it down or grab me at some point and say, hey, what did you mean by this? Those sins need to be confessed to God when it's just stays in here, you know, from the heart to the head. But it doesn't mean, oh, you can't do that with this thing. You can deal with. I can confess, Lord, I love their hair, and you didn't give me that hair. Please forgive me for not being grateful that I have hair. Thank you, Lord. Okay. So the biblical pattern is confess your sins to as wide of an audience, everybody, that you've sinned against. So if I'm thinking sinful thoughts about someone, but it doesn't grow into a full-blown sin, confess it to God. If, on the other hand, I say something unkind to or about that person, or I put, you know, green poison in their shampoo, I need to confess that sin to God and to the person. And if you're really struggling with a heart sin, you may need to talk to a more mature believer. Talk to someone in your small group. Talk to someone if you're in Wellspring in your discussion group. Find someone and talk through it with them and ask them to help you battle that sin. And obviously, it's probably that kind of sin isn't going to be over somebody's hair. But for women, it could be, you know, there's a lot of different things we can get ourselves in trouble with, whether it be coveting somebody's stuff and their house or their husband or their kids or their grandkids. You know, there can be their marriage. I mean, 100 different things that can get ugly and really be bitter in our hearts. We may need help, and it's okay to ask for help. That's why, hello, we're part of a body. We need each other. So I also want to remind us the difference between a mistake and a sin. So an example of a mistake is pouring salt into your coffee thinking it was sugar. That's a mistake. And this one actually, well, sort of happened to me. Mistyping a web address and ending up on a porn site. Believe it or not, I did that, trying to find a Mexican restaurant. And I'm like, it popped up and I'm like, I feel so sorry for that restaurant. Because I had like one, I mean, and it wasn't a bad name. I'm not even going to say what it was. But I was like, how did I get here? And I was like, oh, you know, things can happen like that. That's a mistake. For a mistake, you say you're sorry. If it's sin, like if I keep going back to that icky website, that's sin. Then I need to seek forgiveness. So we want to deal with, what do we do with our sin? I have sinned, okay? But again, we're not going to get there quite yet because I want to start with what not to do. No counterfeit confessions. I'm sorry. What saying I'm sorry does is expresses a feeling. It asks nothing of the other person. So when you've sinned, you don't just say to the person, well, I'm sorry. An apology. What an apology is a formal justification. It's a defense. It's an excuse. It's, well, I did that because blah, 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 blah. It's giving yourself the out. We don't do that. Another favorite, please forgive me if, but maybe perhaps. Please forgive me if I hurt you. Please forgive me if I hurt you, but you were being unreasonable. Not the way to seek forgiveness. I'm sorry if I hurt you, but you're difficult to get along with. Okay, that's not how you seek forgiveness. And I want from real life to give two examples of horrible confessions. One, I'm assuming this guy, it's a senator, and I'm actually not going to name names, but I'll tell you he was a senator. Yeah, I don't know if he still is. This was back in 06. So if you really want to know, you can come ask me. It doesn't matter. But here's what he said. 2 years ago, I made a very serious mistake. A mistake that I am responsible for and no one else. Well, that part, he's responsible and no one else. But he made a serious mistake. Here's what it was. In 2006, I told my wife about the mistake. And it was adultery. Asked her for forgiveness. So he did at least ask for forgiveness. Ask God for his forgiveness. That was okay. And we've kept this within our family since that time. This well-known senator had committed adultery, and he called it a mistake. That is not salt in your coffee. That is sin. He did more than a serious mistake. Now, that guy might not be a believer. I don't know. So I'll cut him a little bit of slack. But this was a confession, and this was in recent days, and I'm going to read it. I resigned from my position at ABC Church today due to ongoing marital issues. As many of you know, I returned from a trip a few months back and discovered that my wife was having an affair. Heartbroken and devastated, I informed our church leadership and requested a sabbatical to focus exclusively on my marriage and family. As her affair continued, we separated. Sadly and embarrassingly, I subsequently sought comfort in a friend and developed an inappropriate relationship myself. Last week, I was approached by our church leaders and they asked me about my own affair. I admitted to it, and it was decided the best course of action would be for me to resign. Both my wife and I are heartbroken over our actions, and we ask you to pray for us and for our family that God would give us the grace we need to weather this heart-wrenching storm. He took his wife, and yeah, sounds like she was in sin, but he literally threw her under the bus and rolled over her. That is, you sinned, so I sinned, and it's okay. And I want to help you. That's not okay. So, using them as an example is much easier than using myself. But when we sin, we need to deal with it biblically, and we don't want to blame shift, which that second one was a huge blame shift. I committed adultery because she did it first. Really? And I am sad to say it's in the paper. And unfortunately for them, it's very public because it's a well-known pastor. They are getting divorced. And that, they have children, and my heart is broken for both of them. And I don't bring that up to just, you know, wow, I'm so much better than you. I know how to seek forgiveness. But it's heartbreaking, just heartbreaking. So what do I do when I've sinned? It's not a mistake. It's not salt in the coffee. It's not a heart sin. But I've actually sinned, and I need to seek forgiveness. I've said something unkind. You know, it can be all the way from I've said something unkind to I've hit somebody to adultery. How do I deal with my sin? And I want to remind you of Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. And I have found over the years, and this was something that I learned along the way from a biblical counseling class, and I don't remember who to give credit to, but the principle is what I uncover when I expose my sin and I say I have sinned, God in his grace and mercy covers it. And when I try and hide it, God, because he loves us, he will expose it. So concealing our sin isn't, God's way bigger than us. He is smart and he knows what's going on and he will uncover it. So I've sinned. Now what do I do? What does that confession need to look like? The first thing I think we need to do when I've sinned is I need to pray. Give me the courage to obey. I don't want to go tell this person what I've done, or you know, or I don't want to admit that I said something unkind. Maybe they already know. But I need to ask God's help. I need to pray for courage. The next thing to do is confess your sin to God. It means to agree with God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I need to repent. I need to change. I need to turn from my sin. It's not enough just to stop sinning. We need to turn from our sin and turn to God. And Ephesians 4:25 gives us that principle. If I've been lying, I need to speak the truth. If I've been stealing, I need to do, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. It's not enough to just stop stealing. We need to give. And then let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So if I'm sinning with my mouth, my repentance is going to be, I'm building up and I'm giving grace. And now I need to go. I need to go as soon as I can. I need to find that person and I need to seek their forgiveness. Matthew 5:23 says, therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. So when you've sinned, when I've sinned, here are 7 things that are helpful to remember. And this comes from Peacemakers, the book by Kevin Sandy, and he calls them the 7 A's of confession. A, you address everyone involved, all of those that you have affected. Your confession should reach as far as your offense. So if I've just sinned against one person, I need to go to that person. I don't have to announce it to the whole world. However, like in the case of that pastor, his public confession, because of his role, he needed to confess to the church. He had sinned by his behavior against the church, against the body. Avoid if, but, and maybe. Don't try to excuse your wrongs. Remember the bad confessions that I gave, you know, perhaps I was wrong. I made a mistake. I probably should, you know, who said this? I know I have. I probably shouldn't have done that. Duh, of course not. Maybe I should have tried harder. You know, that's not a confession. Admit specifically both attitudes and actions. You know, when I said those angry words, you know, I that was unkind. My attitude was wrong. Please forgive me. Acknowledge the hurt. It is okay to say, I'm sorry for what I've done to you. For example, it might be this. I understood when I said that your idea was foolish that those words hurt you. You can acknowledge that I'm sorry I hurt you. Accept the consequences, such as making restitutions. So if I've gone about and I have slandered somebody and said, you know, told 10 people an untruth about somebody, what in the world do I do? I need to call those 10 people and say, you know, what I said was untrue. Will you please forgive me for lying? And you need to make it right as best you can. Restitution can be a little tricky because some things it's just going to take time. But ask the Lord, is there something I need to do to make this right? And alter your behavior. Change your attitudes and actions. Make a plan of how you're going to change. You may need to tell the person, you know what? By God's help, I plan to listen well. I plan to let you finish your thought, And I plan to think about things before I respond. Tell the person what your plan is. Alter your behavior. And then ask for forgiveness. When I did fill in the blank, will you please forgive me? And you sometimes, oftentimes, especially within the close relationships where you do the same thing over and over. I don't know. I assume everybody does that because I know I do that. So obviously it's with Tom, my husband, that probably more than anybody I have to say the same thing over and over. But sometimes you have to allow time because I keep doing the same thing. Ken Sandy does say that not every confession is going to require all 7 steps. A minor offense can often be handled with a fairly simple statement, but the more serious the offense, the wiser it is to make a thorough confession. And again, remind yourself of the gospel. We can change. We can be more like Christ. Confession is saying to another, you are right. I did wrong you. I did sin against you. It's admitting what has been charged as true. And in the final analysis, true confession is an agreement with another that is an agreement with God's word. So one last example of what it may sound like, what it should sound like. Will you please forgive me for not listening to your idea? I am sorry that I hurt you when I did that. It's not like you never say, I'm sorry. You know, that is a feeling. But it needs to be coupled with, will you please forgive me? And Jay Adams says, stick entirely to your own sin. Unlike the confession I read, I committed adultery because my wife committed adultery. That's what that boiled down to, and that's sad. So that's what we do when I realize that I have sinned against somebody. But what do we do when somebody comes and says, you know, you've sinned, you hurt me, you fill in the blank, okay? We need to be approachable. That's important in our everyday relationships, that we're approachable, that our friends, our relatives, our small group friends, our discussion group from Wellspring, those ladies can come into our lives. Be approachable. You can thank them for coming to you. And remember, if somebody is coming to you saying, you know, you sinned against me, there are some relationships that's easier to do, but there's some you'd rather have a root canal than go. It's not easy to go, so thank them for coming to you. If you agree that you sinned, ask them to forgive you. Confess your sin to God. That's so important. Don't just take care of the horizontal. Take care of the vertical. If you've sinned against your neighbor, you've sinned against God. So we need to seek. We need to confess our sin to God. We need to agree with Him. We need to thank the Lord for His mercy in revealing that sin. And for paying the price for that sin. And then we need to repent. So it's easy when somebody comes and you own it. You know, yeah, I'm busted. I did that. Please forgive me. But what about, because this is a little trickier. What if someone comes to me and they tell me that I've sinned? I'm going to raise my hand on this. And I don't agree. Because I never agree that I have to remind myself that I'm the biggest sinner. Because in reality, I usually don't believe that, which I need to confess that as sin. But what do I do if they come and I don't agree? C.J. Mahaney gives some great counsel in that regard. He says, don't be put off when a friend's observations may not be 100% accurate. See, that's me. I'm looking, yeah, it didn't happen on a Tuesday, so you're wrong. He says, I found that there's truth to be gleaned at times, even from an enemy's critique. And every time I read this, I just laugh because I'm so busted. Humility doesn't demand mathematical precision from another's input. See, that's what I want. Okay, you don't have one of those details right, so I really didn't do it, and I'm not a sinner. No. Humility postures itself to receive God's grace from any avenue possible. When they come, you may need to pray. Lord, show me. I don't see it. Don't demand mathematical precision. Don't demand that every little detail is 100% accurate. Another helpful things if somebody's coming to you with a criticism or is showing you, you know, saying you have sinned. Jerry Ragg says, and this is in his book, Exemplary Spiritual Leadership, and this is dealing with criticism, but I think, you know, having our sin pointed out lands to me in the criticism camp. He says, learn how to listen. Oh boy, I need to do that. Don't just hear, but listen by showing genuine interest in what is being communicated. And a lot of that listening thing is listening rather than trying to prove why they're wrong in your head, as you should be listening. Again, personal experience. Second, ask questions when clarity is needed. And again, you guys don't need to be here. I need to just sit myself down and look at this and live it, okay? Because I'm busted every step of the way. So ask questions when clarity is needed, but be careful, however, that questions are not an attempt to divert attention from the central issue being raised. See, that's what I like to do, is ask a question to make you sidestep. So a question might be, help me understand, or please be patient with me and tell me again what the issue is. Godly responses. Listen without interrupting or forming snap conclusions. And here's a biggie. Don't attack the messenger. Our question must be, Lord, how can I learn from what this person is saying? So what can I do if they come to me and they bring me my sin, and I don't agree? I can thank them for coming to me, even if I don't agree. I can be thankful that they cared enough to come, because it's not easy. I may need to ask for time to think about what they've said. I can say, at this point, I can say, you know, I am sorry that I hurt you. I need some time to consider this. I may want to go to others and ask them to help me see my sin, especially if somebody's coming and saying your attitude or your tone. You may ask those close to you, pray first, obviously, because you might not like what you hear, but ask, and then pray about it. Ask the Lord, Lord, show me my sin. Show me if there's something in what this person is saying that I need to hear. And I love this quote. This is from old dead lady, Mary Elizabeth Baxter. And I like her name. And she's talking about difficult members in the church. She says, every difficult member in a church is a provision of God for the trial of the patience of some other members, and very especially of the leaders. There is no chance in any of the arrangements which God permits. If we look at the difficult members in their relation to us, we may well have ground for complaint. But if we see them all as instruments in the hand of God, we know that not one word or one action can take place except it be needed for the education of his own. Ladies, do I view the people in my life, in your life, as instruments in the hands of God? Again, in situations where somebody comes, they're pointing out sin. If you don't agree, it's not, okay, I did it. Just go away. Get off my back. No. J. Adams again says, one must never confess his sin what he is not sure biblically is sin. Nor should he confess to sins that he does not believe he has committed merely in order to appease another who has charged him with wrongdoings. Confession must be the genuine, heartfelt conviction of the repentant confessor. If you're in a place where somebody has come to you and they've brought sin to your attention, pray. The Lord, ask the Lord to show you. Ask others, do you see this in me? And if you recognize that, yeah, and it may be a while. It may be, don't just blow it off. But if it comes to you and you realize, yes, I have sinned, go and seek forgiveness.